Rav Reuven Sasson. Reuven Sasson is a Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, in Yeshivat Ramat HaSharon. And in the past, I would say 10 years, he's come out with over 20 books, 20 Sfarim that are phenomenal, phenomenal Sfarim. I don't have all 20 of them, but I have a lot of them, and I've learned through a lot of them, and his Torah continues to inspire me. So I thought that it would be good for Americans who don't really know who he is to be exposed to who this upcoming thinker is. He's very young. He's very young, so he's just really starting out, but maybe one day everyone will hear of him. But I think that it's a shame if you don't already start hearing his words of wisdom. And his words of wisdom, his Torah, is unique in that it's based off the more mystical elements of Torah. It's based on more Kabbalistic elements of Torah. But what he could do, what he does so well, is that he makes these complicated ideas, these mystical, deep, esoteric ideas, very understandable and even practical for everyone's personal daily life. So this week's parsha, it's actually a double parsha. We have Chukas and Balak, but this topic is going to be just about Parsha's Chukas. And Parsha's Chukas is a very unique parsha if you think about it. Because if we just take a step back for a moment and think about what Sefer Bamidbar is as a whole, we could appreciate what Parshas Chukas is a little bit better. What is Sefer Bamidbar? Sefer Bamidbar is about the transition of the generation of the Jewish people that lived in the desert to the people that are going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And all of Sefer Bamidbar is about understanding this transition of going from the desert into Eretz Yisrael. And it's actually Parshas Chukas in particular which deals with this the most, because this is the Parsha where we're coming off the heels of the Chet HaMeraglim, where all the people in the previous generation have died. And we're talking about a new generation that is about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So everything in this week's Parsha is particular interest to us to understand what the difference is between the Dor HaMidbar, the generation that lived in the desert for 40 years, and the Dor that is entering Eretz Yisrael, the generation entering into Eretz Yisrael. And not only is this Parsha important for us to understand this, we have a Kabbalistic tradition that the beginning of each Parsha sheds light on the whole entire Parsha as a whole. Understanding the beginning of each week's Parsha actually is the key to understanding what the whole Parsha is about. And this particular Parsha, this particular topic, which is the first topic in this Parsha, the Parah Aduma, the Red Heifer, will give us a better understanding of the Parsha and Sefer Bamidbar as a whole. So, what happens at the beginning of this week's Parsha? We first have the Parah Aduma, which we're going to describe exactly what it is in more detail in a minute. But we have the Parah Aduma, which is a process in which a person comes into contact with a dead body. He becomes ritually impure. And the Parah Aduma is this red calf that is slaughtered. And there's a whole process that you have to do in order to purify the person who became impure through coming in contact with a dead body. So what does that have to do with the generation entering Eretz Yisrael? And secondly, after the Parsha Parah Aduma, we talk about the death of Miriam. As we're going to see, Chazal linked these two things. They're not just coincidentally next to each other, but there's a deep connection between these two. Let's try to understand, what is Parah Aduma all about? What is the death of Miriam all about? And what do they have to do with each other? And then, what does that tell us about this week's Parsha and Sefer Bamidbar as a whole? So, we're not the first ones to point this out, that this is the Parsha that is most important to understand the transition of going into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi already says this in this week's Parsha. The Pasuk says, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael, kol ha'edah midbar tzin, when it's talking about mourning of the death of Miriam, The Pasuk says, and all of B'nai Yisrael came, Kol Ha'eda. And Rashi's bothered by the fact, why does the Pasuk say Kol Ha'eda, the whole entire nation? Why Kol Ha'eda? Rashi says, to teach us that we're talking about a new generation. Specifically now is the first time where everyone, almost everyone, is a new generation. And this is the generation that is supposed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So let's look into this mitzvah, this mysterious mitzvah of Parah Aduma, to try to get a better understanding of what entering into Eretz Yisrael is all about. And it's true, you might have heard that Parah Aduma is the quintessential chok. A chok is a mitzvah that we don't understand the reasoning behind it. And a lot of Parah Aduma, we don't understand the reasoning behind it. But there are some elements that Chazal saw and looked at and were seen as clues, as an inkling of what it's supposed to represent. So, Parah Aduma is inherently linked to the generation entering Eretz Yisrael. And one of the ways we see this, besides the fact that we just mentioned that Rashi says it, the Torah says that the Parah Aduma process, the ritual, has to be done by Elazar HaKohen. And this is strange, because Elazar HaKohen is the son of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And he's still alive. He dies later on. But at this moment in time, at the beginning of this week's Parsha, Aaron HaKohen is still alive. So you would have expected him, the high priest, to be the one to do the Parah Aduma service. Yet the Torah says that it's not to be done by Aaron HaKohen. It's supposed to be done by his son, Elazar HaKohen. And just as an aside, we already see the very fact that this process, this ritual, has to be done by Elazar and not Aaron, indicates to us that we're dealing with the new generation. Parah Aduma is inherently linked to the generation entering into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, it has to be done by a person who will enter into Eretz Yisrael, Elazar HaKohen, and not Aaron HaKohen, who will die and not enter into Eretz Yisrael. But why is it true? Besides the fact that it represents the passing of the torch, the start of a new generation, Chazal identified two reasons why it had to be Elazar HaKohen who did the Parah Aduma process, and it couldn't be done by Aaron HaKohen. And at first glance, it looks like these two separate reasons are contradictory to each other. The first reason is given by Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi says that the Parah Aduma is meant to be a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And B'nai Yisrael served the golden calf right after Moshe came down, right before Moshe came down with the Luchos. The Torah describes how Aaron HaKohen is very involved in that process. And because Aaron HaKohen sinned with the Chet HaEgel, it wasn't right for him to deal with the Parah Aduma, because Chazal teach us the Parah Aduma is supposed to fix, it's supposed to rectify somehow the Chet HaEgel. So we have a principle in Torah called Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar. The accuser is not allowed to be the protector or the defendant. And since Aaron HaKohen was on some level an accuser because he was involved in the Chet HaEgel, it doesn't make any sense for him to be involved in the defense, in the Senegar of the Parah Aduma. And by the way, this also shows an inherent link between the different generations, because most people think that the reason why B'nai Yisrael couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael right away and they had to wait for 40 years, many people think, and this is the simple reading of the text, is that it had to do with the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the spies that we read about in Parsha Shlach, how they gave a bad report about what Eretz Yisrael is all about. And that's what the Pesukim imply. But already Rashi in Parsha Shlach teaches us that it's not really true. Really, it was the Chet HaEgel where Hashem decided that they're not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Really, the Chet HaEgel was what got Hashem angry. And it was only the Chet HaMeraglim that was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, that actually caused Hashem to finally decide and to finalize his decree that B'nai Yisrael is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. But fundamentally speaking, we see that it was the Chid HaEgel, which represents the old generation, which can't go into Eretz Yisrael, and the Parah Aduma, which is the rectification of that sin, represents the new generation. So we can understand that Aaron HaKohen, who was associated with the old generation, couldn't be the one to be involved with the Parah Aduma, which is associated with the new generation. So that's the reason that Rashi says. Rashi again says, why couldn't Aaron HaKohen be the one to be involved with the Parah Aduma? Rashi says, based on the Medrash, the reason is because Aaron HaKohen was involved with the Chet HaEgel. However, the Zohar also is bothered by this question. The Zohar also asks, why wasn't Aaron HaKohen involved with the Parah Aduma? And the Zohar gives a very different answer. And essentially what the Zohar says is that Aaron HaKohen was on too high of a level to deal with the Parah Aduma. To use the Zohar's terms, although we don't have time to fully understand it right now, but the Zohar says that Aaron HaKohen was on the level of Kedusha, whereas the Parah Aduma is on the level of Tahara. And Kedusha, holiness, is a higher level than purity. Already the Ramchal in Mesilas Yesharim already talks about this. But whatever it means, the difference between Kedusha and Tahara, it's not the point right now. What we see from the Zohar is that the reason Aaron HaKohen couldn't be involved with the Parah Aduma is because he was on too high of a level. Whereas Rashi said the reason was is because he did a sin and therefore maybe he's on too low of a level. The Zohar says the opposite. He was on too high of a level. So how do we understand this contradiction in Chazal? Was it because Aaron was on too high a level or on too low of a level? We have a principle that whenever it comes to Agadita or Machshava in general, there usually are no debates. There's no machlokas. There's no debates when it comes to non-halachic elements of understanding the Torah. And therefore, this can't be seen as a contradiction. It's just that these two different pieces of Chazal are highlighting two different elements of what really is the same thing. So what we're trying to do right now is to try to understand this contradiction, try to answer up the contradiction to see exactly what is it about Aaron HaKohen that caused him not to be able to deal with the Parah Aduma. Now, in order to understand this, we have to talk about something that we've mentioned in the past, and that is there is a huge difference, a fundamental difference, between the generation that was living in the desert for 40 years and the generation that was living, that was about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Dor HaMidbar, for example, epitomized pure spirituality. The Dor HaMidbar was the generation that received the Torah, the most spiritual of all things. They were ones who ate bread, who ate man from Shemayim. They ate the man. They didn't have to work for anything that they did. It was all directly from Hashem. There was a direct spiritual connection. They witnessed miracles in Egypt and throughout their whole entire stay in the desert through the Anani HaKavod, the cloud of glory, and the pillar of fire, Amod HaEsh. There was no physical needs that they had to worry about at all. And if we contrast that to the door, to the generation that is entering into Eretz Yisrael, it's the exact opposite, because Eretz Yisrael, it was a very physical place. It was the first time that they would actually have to plant and grow their own food. The man didn't fall from Shemayim. They had to take their food from the earth and plant it themselves. They had to fight in many, many wars, more wars that they fought in the desert. Hashem's presence was not obviously seen. And to put it plainly, if you think about it, the Dor HaMidbar is the generation of pure spirituality. Maybe we could say they are like the neshama, the soul. Whereas the door entering into Eretz Yisrael is the generation that is primarily about physicality. The generation that represents the guf, the body. So with this introduction of what the difference between the two generations is, we can now begin to understand what Paradum is all about. But in order to understand what Paradum is all about, we have to always go back to the source of things. We have a tradition. To understand anything, you always have to go to the first time that it's mentioned in the Torah. And not only that, we also have a tradition that everything in the whole entire story can, in the whole entire Torah, sorry, can be found in the beginning of the Torah in Parshas Bereishis. So in order to understand the Parah Aduma, which is in Parshas Chukas, we have to take a trip back right now to go all the way back to Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, and talk about Adam and Chava. Because if you understand the story of Adam and Chava on a deep level, you can understand the whole entire Torah, and you for sure understand what Parah Aduma is all about. In Kabbalistic terminology, in the Kabbalistic Sfarim, they talk about a whole entire new existence that existed after Adam and Chava sinned with the Eitz Hadas. Reality fundamentally changed. And basically the way that it's described is that there became a huge gap between the body, a person's body, and a person's soul. We generally think of the body and the soul as two distinct, polar opposite entities. The soul wants spirituality and the body wants physicality. But in reality is that it didn't always exist this way. It wasn't always like that. Before Adam and Chava sinned, Chazal tell us that the body and the soul, their bodies and their souls, existed in complete harmony with each other. They weren't opposites. And it used to be at those times that a person was able to serve Hashem not only with his soul, but with his body as well, and there was no resistance whatsoever. But when Adam and Chava sinned, there was a gap. No longer were we able to serve Hashem with our bodies. This sin, say Chazal, made a barrier in between a person's body and his soul. The truth is that the sin only affected a person's body. The soul remains pure forever, and to this day remains pure. It's only the body that is affected by sin. When a person is craving spirituality and wants a spiritual connection with something greater, with Hashem, that's a person being in tune to what his soul has sank. Whenever a person doesn't feel it, doesn't feel connected, it's because a person's body is getting in the way of what his soul truly wants. And it's hard for us to understand, what does it mean that our body wanted spirituality? What does it mean that there was no opposition to each other? It's hard to understand because for thousands of years we've been living in a reality where it's not true. But anytime you feel a lack, it's because we're not really in tune with what our neshama, what our souls are saying. It's the body that is blocking us from really understanding of who we truly are. So the question that Jews have been dealing with, and not just Jews, but all of religion, has been dealing with forever, is how do we fix our bodies? Do we say that our bodies are doomed? They're doomed because of what Adam and Chava did thousands of years ago, that they can never be rectified? How do we return our bodies to the way they were pre-Chet Adam Arishon, before the original sin? In some religions, there is no real way to fix this. A person might be doomed because of the original sin, that they can't redeem their soul. And although people generally think that Judaism doesn't have such a concept of original sin, the truth is it's not true. We do have a very strong concept of original sin. It's just slightly different from what other religions have to say. And it says in Kabbalah, that the only way that a person could truly fix his soul, his body in this world, is unfortunately through death. And I say unfortunately only because of what we understand death is all about. But as we'll see, it's not really the way that we think it is. This is especially apparent in the writings of Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the author of Mesilas Yesharim and many other Sfarim. But he says that since the body was inherently weakened because of the original sin, the only way that the body could be rectified, could be purified, is if it goes through the suffering and the trauma and the pain of death. And it's true, a person can do tshuva, and a person could rectify some of the averis that he did, but to be 100% pure, to fully fix yourself, says the Ramchal, says Kabbalah, you only could do it through death. And we generally think of death as most people see it, as the end of life, and that's it. But the Ramchal says that actually the whole institution of death only came about as a result of the original sin, as a result of this, of the Chet Adam Arishon. Why was that? Because that was a gift from Hashem. The only way to purify our bodies was through death, and therefore that was a result of the sin. And with this understanding, we can understand a whole host of different statements in Chazal that seems to make no sense at all. For example, Chazal say, on the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, it says, "Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'yinei tov ma'od." Hashem saw all that He created in the 6 days of creation, and it was very good, v'yinei tov ma'od. Chazal quote a medrash. The medrash quotes that Rabbi Meir, one of the Tanayim, one of the sages, he had a different text in his Torah scroll. It didn't say Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'yinei tov ma'od, but it said v'yinei tov hamaves, and he saw that death was good. What do you mean death was good? Rabbi Meir is teaching us what we just said. Death is the greatest good because it's the only way that we could rectify our bodies, so that when we come back into Chiyas HaMeisim, our bodies and soul will be united in harmony as they were just like the days before the original sin. And this also explains a different pasuk, a different chazal. The pasuk says that Hashem created for Adam and Chava a kasnos or, a layer of skin upon their bodies, as clothing. And the way that we have it in our Torah scrolls, it says kasnos or is spelled ayin vav resh. Or means skin, it means leather. But the Medrash says that Rabbi Meir, the same Rabbi Meir we just quoted above, had a different text, and in his Torah scroll, it said, kasnos or, not spelled ayin vav resh, but aleph vav resh. He had a skin of light. And what does that mean? Rabbi Meir is saying that in his Torah scroll, the way he viewed reality was that a person's body, his or with an ayin, is really light. It's really an or with an aleph. If a person works on himself and rectifies the chet adam arishon, he could turn his body into an or with an aleph, into light, so that's no longer contradictory to what his soul says. And now we can understand a couple of interesting phenomena we find in our history. There were people in Jewish history who seemed to not follow the normal course of nature. The first person I could think of is Yaakov Avinu. Chazal say, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov Avinu never died. What do you mean he never died? The Pasuk does describe his death. But the answer is that he never died because he was one of the few people who was able to rectify his body, rectify the sin, and therefore have his body not in contradiction, not as an opposition to his soul, and therefore the body didn't have to go through the death process as everyone else does. And that's why Chazal say he never died. We're also told that Moshe Rabbeinu had a carne or. He had a light that emanated from his face. What does that mean? I think perhaps what it means, it's the same kasnos or, the same skin of light that Rabbi Meir identified with Adam HaRishon, is the same skin of light that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to fix himself, was able to rectify the Chet Adam Rishon in his own self. and therefore have his body, his ore with an iron, also not a contradiction to his soul, and therefore his ore was an ore with aleph, was a light. And this is also the explanation of what it means that Eliyahu HaNavi never died, Chazal say. He exists in every generation. What does it mean he never died? No, it means, again, that he was one of the few people who even in this world was able to rectify their bodies so there wasn't a contradiction to their souls and therefore they could live without having to go through the death process. And with this introduction, we can now understand this week's parsha and what Parah Aduma is all about. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Iserles, the author, the posek of almost all Ashkenazi Jewry, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, along with Rav Yosef Cairo. Many people know him as a posek, as a halachic decider. But many people don't know that the Ramah is also a very big Kabbalist. And he wrote Sfarim in Kabbalah. And one of his main Sfarim in Kabbalah is called Toras Ha'ola. And the Ramah in Toras Ha'ola says a very fascinating idea. And he says that the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, is meant, to some degree, fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. And this is actually alluded to in the name Parah Aduma. Because the first word Parah Aduma is para, a cow. The Ramah says para is from the same word as pri, as a fruit, because it's alluding to the pri eitz hadas, which was originally used to sin with Adam and Chava. And the second word in para aduma is aduma, which is related to the word Adam. So together, para aduma is really pre-Adam, alluding to the original sin of Chet Adam HaRishon, alluding to the original sin of Adam and Chava. And therefore, somehow, some way, this ritual of the Parah Aduma is meant to rectify the sin of the Chedah Adam HaRishon. And if we understand how it does it, not only will we understand how the Parah Aduma rectifies the sin, but nowadays, where we don't have the Parah Aduma with us anymore, it could shed light on how we are supposed to fix the sin of Adam HaRishon as well. So let's think about what the Parah Aduma ritual actually looked like, and now we can begin to understand how it fixes the Chedah Adam HaRishon. So the Parah Aduma, as he mentioned, is you slaughtered a cow that's all red, and you burn its ashes, and you mix it with water, and you would sprinkle it on a person who came into contact with a dead body. And think about it, when you come into a dead body, as we said before, the body is the only part of a person that gets affected by sin. The soul remains forever pure. So when a person dies and his soul departs his body, he's left with just a corpse, just a physical entity, which is inherently tameh, it's inherently impure because it doesn't have the soul, the part of the person that never sinned, remaining in it anymore. So when a person comes into contact with that, it awakens the impure elements of the person who comes in contact with it, and he too becomes impure, and he too needs to be purified by something else. So this is where Parah Aduma comes in, because the Parah Aduma, if you think about it, actually mimics a person's death and his ultimate revival. The Parah Aduma, as we said, you take an animal and you burn it. And as the cow is burnt into ashes, it's returned to the ground, and it symbolizes the breakdown of a human body, and it's returning to the ground in death. And then when you take the ashes and you mix it with water, ashes and water are the exact way that is described in Sefer Bereishis as how Hashem created Adam HaRishon. He took water and dirt and he fashioned them together to make Adam HaRishon. So when you take the ashes and the water and you mix them together, it's really symbolizing a new creation of man. So when you then take that water mixture and you sprinkle it on the person, what you're representing is that you're switching, so to speak, this entity, this paraduma, which represents a death and a revival with the person who is impure, to symbolize that this person to take the place of the paraduma. And we should view him as someone who has died and has come back to life again, in which his body is no longer impure from coming into contact with a dead body. And although it's true that in death, only death could be the real rectification of a person's body for most people, the paraduma process models this death and renewal, so much so that it has the ability to purify someone who comes into contact with a dead body. And now we can understand the continuation of this week's parsha, which seemingly doesn't make any sense at first glance. Right after the parsha of paraduma, we're told about the death of Miriam. And Chazal are in tune to this, and they point out that this is not just a coincidence, that these two things are right next to each other. Paraduma and Miriam, and the death of Miriam, is because both of these things are mechaper. Both of these things atone for the nation of Bnei Yisrael. The paraduma atones to the person who becomes impure, and the death of Miriam and the death of tzaddikim in general atones for the nation of Bnei Yisrael. And because it's really the same thing, just as the paraduma, the burning of its ashes, the burning of the paraduma, and the mixture of the ashes with water represents a death and a renewal, so too, when tzaddikim die, it represents a death and the ultimate, and an allusion to the ultimate renewal that serves as a kapara, as an atonement for the whole entire nation. And with all of this, we can now understand why this mitzvah had to be taught specifically to the generation that was entering into Eretz Yisrael. Because as we said, the paraduma is meant to be a tikkun, it's supposed to be a rectification of the Chet Adam Arishon, of the original sin. And as we learned, the Chet Adam Arishon only affected a person's body, the physical aspect of a person, and not the soul. And since the Dor HaMidbar, the generation of the desert, as we said before, was the generation that represented pure spirituality with no involvement with their physical side at all, it makes sense now that they couldn't be involved with the paraduma. Because if the paraduma is all about rectifying physicality, fixing the original sin, then it would make sense that it's only applicable to the generation that is going to be directly involved in physicality, which is the generation of those entering into Eretz Yisrael, and not the generation of pure spirituality of the generation of those living in the desert for 40 years. And now we could understand the contradiction in Chazal of why Aaron HaKohen wasn't able to be the one to be involved with the paraduma. If you remember, we mentioned a contradiction. On the one hand, Rashi says the reason is because Aaron sinned with the Cheda Eagle. On the other hand, the Zohar says that it's not that Aaron sinned, but that he was on too high of a level. But according to what we said, everything makes sense. What the Zohar means is not that he was... What the Zohar says is he was on a higher level of spirituality, because Aaron HaKohen existed with the generation of the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel was the generation of the people who lived in the desert. And the people who lived in the desert, in a sense, were on a higher level because they weren't involved in any physicality. They didn't have the test of involvement in physicality. And therefore, when Rashi says it's because he was involved with the Chet HaEgel, that goes directly in line with the Zohar that he was on a higher level. Because he was on a higher level in that he was only involved in spirituality, he couldn't be the one to perform the paraduma ritual. So just to summarize what we've seen so far, and then end on one last point that is relevant to all of our lives. We saw that this Sefer and this Parsha in particular is all about the transition of the people going from the desert into Eretz Yisrael. And we talked about how the paraduma is supposed to represent this fact. And how does it do that? Because the paraduma is a tikkun, is a rectification for the Chet Adam Arishon. And since the sin was that it caused the body to be disassociated with the soul, for there to be a gap between body and soul. The only way to fix the body is through death, through the body going through a traumatic and painful event and ultimate revival. And we talked about it's only the generation of those going into Eretz Yisrael who could work on this idea, because the generation of those living in the desert was one of pure spirituality. I'd like to end with the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that, you know, a person might be learning this week's Parsha with Parah Aduma and get very disheartened, especially according to everything that we just talked about, that only through the Parah Aduma can a person become pure, or even only with death can a person become pure. So how is the average person supposed to relate to this week's Parsha in the days where we don't have a Parah Aduma, we don't have a red calf? So the Chassam Sofer says that the Parah Aduma continues in our day as well, because the Parah Aduma was a red heifer that was burned to ashes and then mixed with spring water and sprinkled on a person. And all of these elements exist when a person does tshuva, when a person does repentance. The Chassam Sofer says a person who committed averos is like the Parah Aduma. Why? Because a person is supposed to humble themselves with regret. Just like the ashes, the body of the Parah Aduma is humbled by turning into ashes. And then a person's tears are the water that's mixed with those ashes. And we know the Parah Aduma is supposed to be placed in a kli cheres, in an earthenware vessel. And our bodies are that earthenware vessel made out of offer and water. With the mayim of the tears and with the ashes of the regret, we take everything that we've done and we put it into a kli cheres, a broken vessel, a broken earthenware vessel. And the last part of the Parah Aduma process is the going to the mikvah. And although we don't have the same type of laws of going to the mikvah as we did in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Chazal say that mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is our mikvah. So when you put all these ingredients together, the elements of tshuva, and we dive into the mikvah of Hashem, a person can become purified through whatever he has done wrong. Again, this topic was a little bit Kabbalistic, so I apologize if it was a little bit esoteric, but I want to give people an understanding of what Rav Reuven Sasson is all about and the depth of Torah, how everything is really connected to each other. But let's take this message, the power of tshuva, with us when we read this week's Parsha, and remember that even the worst things that we did could always be rectified with our own personal Parah Adumas, with our own personal tshuva. Thank you, everyone, for coming.